Hello, everybody. Happy Monday and welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. Happy summer, by the way. We had our solstice last week and wow, what a wonderful switch into summer. Though I hope everyone is staying cool in this massive heat wave. So hopefully everybody's got some iced tea, a nice fan in front of them, you know, something just to survive the heat that is going on. I hope everyone's staying safe. Yeah, with summer solstice last week, we had such a wonderful new wave of fresh energy. I don't know about you guys, but I've been absolutely loving this dreamy romantic energy of Cancer. Like, I have always had a special soft spot in my heart for the Cancer energy of July, and especially as we're launching into summer this year. We're actually moving soon to warmer weather too, which probably sounds crazy to a lot of you who are suffering in the heat right now. But being in San Francisco, we have fog all the time. And I think we're in the one part of the country that isn't in the 90s or the 100s right now. But we're super excited to be moving to this cute little house with a gorgeous garden. And all I can think about is how ready I am to connect with nature and like completely fall in love with my new home and getting into gardening and gosh. But we're also in the chaos of moving right now. So I'm sure, but if that's going to seep into the show today, just it's inevitable. It's hard to get out of that energy once you start. I also have, for those of you who are new, we have a big group of pets in our family. We are a big pet family. So I have one of our bearded dragons. I'm next to one of their enclosures, and he is having a lot of fun this morning running around. So if you hear any staticky, that's him racing around in his enclosure. So I'm hoping that's not too loud for you guys. Welcome back to those of you who've joined us before, and welcome to all newcomers. For those of you who have not jumped in the chat room before, I'm just going to help you get there real quick. If you go to 12radio.com, that's the number one, the number two, radio.com, and head over to the chat button, which is going to be on that panel on the left side. It'll take you to our 12radio Facebook page. And if you haven't joined us before, go ahead and hit that join button, and Jay will make sure that you are accepted into the group so you can participate in our wonderful little chat room. And then under the most relevant, you'll see my little banner where you'll see me with my pup on the beach, and you'll be able to leave a couple comments and leave the comment directly under that banner. And once we get some comments going, make sure you click on all comments so that you can join the live chat. So we're actually going to be changing things up today and stepping away from talking about cycle syncing. That's what the past couple shows have been mainly about. And I'm going to kind of just let that energy guide me with what the topics are going to be for today. But I also want to do some readings. I'd really love to get to know you all some more and provide any clarity that I can. So if you guys have anything that's been on your mind or a question that you just can't get out of your head, or you know, something you've just been curious about and would like some clarity, would like some information, go ahead and leave a comment right there on that banner in the chat room if you're comfortable. So I'll keep an eye on the chat room throughout the show, and I'll start doing some readings for any questions that are in the comments about halfway through. But in the meantime, so what is going on these days? Well, we actually have Pride coming up here in San Francisco this weekend, which is such a big part of my summer. It's something I look forward to every year. This city just goes crazy for it, and I absolutely love it. And we've already been in full Pride swing for the past month, which is just always adds some wonderful, loving energy to whatever I end up doing in the city in June. And one of my absolute favorite things about Pride is just that everybody gets a little bit louder in the way that they express themselves, and you can just feel so much love and excitement on every block. Everyone's kind of a little more happy, goofy all the time, and it's wonderful energy to be around. And San Francisco, I mean, it is a bizarre city, right? There's so many things that the city does poorly, you know. Everybody's kind of struggling like that all over right now, but we definitely have our flaws. But one of the things that really made me fall in love with this place is that people are so boldly themselves. And for those of you who haven't been to San Francisco recently or ever, the news makes us seem like we're in zombie town, zombie land all the time. And I crack up whenever I see anybody on the news talking about how no one in San Francisco is thriving. Everything is so much of a struggle, and you know, you're just walking through homeless camps on every block of the city, and there is a huge problem in our city, absolutely, but you know, it actually is only about a 5 to 7 block radius down in the part of the city we call the Tenderloin. And if you step outside of that little bubble, you know, we're all living our lives and hanging out in our wonderful little neighborhoods, and it's a very different experience. So don't listen to everything the news says. But I mean, I've lived here for about 6 years or so, and I often forget how unique this city is until I see it from an outsider's perspective, now that I've been here for as long as I have. And my dad actually visited us a few weeks ago, and we took him out to grab a few drinks at our favorite little bar in the Castro. It was actually a surprisingly sunny day. Summer in San Francisco is known for being freezing. We always have really heavy fog coming in, and we really don't get any warm, sunny weather until September or October. Those are actually our best months. Yeah, we're pretty lucky right now in the heat wave. But earlier, a few weeks ago, when my dad was visiting, we had a really nice sunny day that randomly popped up. And it was really beautiful in the afternoon. And so, you know, the Castro neighborhood, it's in the valley behind Twin Peaks, which means you don't actually get any of the fog from the Pacific and the ocean or any of the wind from the bay. So it's this beautiful little pocket. And the city is full of microclimates. You go 10 blocks, it's a completely different weather. Like, it is, this city is bizarre in so many ways. But if it's a nice day in San Francisco, you know, you go to the Castro or you go to the Mission. Otherwise, you're gonna end up freezing in the wind, but also have a sunburn. It's an odd place. But anyways, so my dad, he's a pretty standard, straight guy. He's also just an open man in general and never likes to make many waves or anything. But he's a great ally. And when I came out to him as bi when I was younger, you know, he told me he loved me and nothing about our relationship changed. You know, he was great with my girlfriends and treated them just like my boyfriends over the years. And he did really well. I was so ha I've been so happy with how he's just accepted me and accepted my community in such a wonderful way. So, you know, I didn't really think twice of bringing him to one of our favorite spots in the city, especially since it was such a sunny day and we wanted to sit outside with a beer and just get some sun without freezing in the wind, which is hard to do here. But pretty much as soon as we sat down with our cold drinks, a couple of naked guys walked right by us. Now, my husband and I were so used to this and like didn't blink, but my dad definitely did a double take and he didn't say anything at first. And we kept talking about whatever we were talking about at the time. But after the fourth or fifth group of naked guys walked by, some of them stopping to talk to their friends or just, you know, hanging out nearby, you know, they're not like running by us. They're just actually walking around and doing their thing. My dad, he very sweetly and innocently asked why they do it. And it turned into a great conversation about expression and how, you know, we obviously can't know why each individual person decides to strip down to literally nothing and throw on their sneakers and take a walk down Castro Street. But we could tell my dad from the guys that we know who love to do it or the men we've talked to in the past that it can actually simply be a great form of expression on a nice sunny day in a city that actually allows it. You know, it's not actually something that is illegal here, which is another reason the city's fun and crazy. And I mean, also, this doesn't necessarily have to do with Pride Month, since any time of the year, if it's a hot day, you'll find a naked man on the in the Castro. But there may have been a handful more on Castro Street that day just because it's June and it's Pride Month. And then when this Saturday comes and we have the major parade, you know, the whole city will be full of both naked men and topless women, right? It's just wild expression, everybody having a fun time. Rain or shine, the weather is not going to impact that. Nothing's going to stop them. And I think I'm really going to love telling this story for a while because it really does encapsulate so many things about San Francisco that I just adore. Like, I know it's not for everyone, and if it isn't your piece of cake, the great thing is it's easy to avoid. And this space is full of such a unique bundle of people, right? I mean, we have hippies and techies and liberals and Republicans and poor and rich. And, you know, when it comes to pride, it's wonderfully shocking to see that any of these people in any of those categories or labels could be one of the naked guys walking down Castro Street or marching in the parade. And it just unites us in such a way when so much of the city can be divided the rest of the year. And gosh, our world is so divided right now. And I don't think I ever would have thought years ago that walking down naked down the street is what could unite some people who are so opposed. But here, that's what does it. Like, it is something that just makes me smile. I love this city so much. But I mean, my first pride in San Francisco was also like really important to me. I had actually just gotten back from spending a year in Morocco. And I was craving that blatant acceptance and love. Like, there are plenty of things that this city gets wrong, but one thing that makes me so grateful for San Francisco is that you get to see everyone loving freely and expressing themselves however they want to. And I had just spent a year in a small town in the mountains in Morocco. And while I had so many wonderful experiences and I did get to meet some incredible people, I was also deeply craving my queer community. I was able to find an underground community where locals and expats alike come together and just be in a safe space. But we didn't ever really let go of that fear that was just so palpable in the world around us. Like, it was just everyone was just always afraid of being discovered or not being safe or, yeah, there were so many things to be afraid of. And I had absolutely taken for granted the safety of my upbringing and of my community growing up. I didn't realize what a privilege it was for me to grow up in a space where not only my parents accepted me, but so did most of my community. Like, I knew I had been privileged that way growing up, and I also knew that plenty of people within my same community did not have that same privilege. But I don't think I'd ever truly understood what basic rights we take for granted. I had never known fear like that before. And everyone queer around me in Morocco was so afraid, and that's just how they lived. And it's all they'd known. And, you know, now I know that, I mean, I know that not everyone has this experience and that there's pockets of safe spaces in the bigger cities in Morocco. But for me, I spent a year in a really isolated and small town where that just wasn't the case. And so when my contract ended, and I've been working at a university and working with this women's shelter in this women's group, and I had a year contract with them. And I had, when the contract ended, I had to figure out what was next, right? I knew I needed a big change, and I knew that I wanted that just blunt acceptance that I'd so deeply craved and I knew that I'd missed. And I took a risk and I moved to San Francisco, and I also happened to move in June during Pride Month. And so I showed up to a loud city full of pride and love, and it was just such a major shock to my system. And what was even more shocking is that I had to readjust to not being afraid or quiet anymore. And I had my first dose of reverse culture shock. I mean, I was suddenly outside of what had become my new comfort zone, which was so much smaller than what my comfort zone had been the last time that I lived, you know, on the West Coast. And I was surrounded by everything that was so familiar and was also exactly what I'd been craving, but I was uncomfortable, right? I had a really hard time shifting out of that fear. And it was bizarre, but also lovely at the same time. And it was just, it was, I mean, I had to adjust to, not covering myself up when I walked down the street and just and kind of letting go of that worry. And it took some time, and once I was able to fully let go of it and have enough positive and safe experiences with new friends I was making, and I was able to start to thrive. And it was so cool to be able to do that here in such a loving, loud, and proud space. And I was lucky to have met some cool people and some new friends that took me to Pride at the end of the June, at the end of that June. I'd only been here for a few weeks. And I mean, at that time, I definitely didn't show any skin. I covered up, as I'd grown used to doing in Morocco. But my eyes were wide open, and we danced all day and all night, and I met so many new wonderful people, and I found such a wonderful chosen family in the city at a time when I really needed it. And gosh, the concept of a chosen family is one of my favorite things. And one of my favorite authors, Armacid Maupin, he's the author of 29 Barbary Lane. It's an incredible collection of novels about San Francisco in the 70s and the 80s. And it actually started as a news column at the San Francisco Chronicle that he turned into books. And they're just wild, amazing stories that feel so real and are full of so many little pockets of the city that I love. And one of the things that he talks about is that we have our biological family, right? That people were related to by blood. And then we have our logical family. And your logical family is the family that you choose. And chosen family is just so important. Like, regardless of your sexuality or your identity or whether you're a minority or not, like, choosing who gets to be in your family and in your trusted inner circle and is invited into your safe space, it's just such an incredible gift. And I think it should just be named and shouted out like that. And I love that so much. I have no idea if Maupin was the first to say that. The biological versus the logical family. I should look into that. But I always think of him, whenever I think of that concept of logical family. And he was definitely the first person where I heard that, which is just so much fun. Yeah. So, okay, let me pop into the chat room. Let's see. Oh, hi. Money blessings, Serena, born and raised in Oakland. That is so incredible. We're actually moving across the bridge into some warmer. We're leaving the cold city to head over to colder. We're leaving the cold city to head over to warmer East Bay. So that is so cool. Quelly, thank you so much for saying that. Bay Area girl till I die. Yeah, absolutely. This city is so incredible. Renee, hi. Thanks so much for being here. And Dee, welcome in. Oh, it's first time listening to you. That's so wonderful. Welcome. Let's see. You have a great question. Let me check in here. If you have time, can you tell me what I can expect these next few months? Thank you. Of course, Dee. Okay. Let me just connect with your energy real quick and see what's coming up for you. Okay. So I wonder if it seems like there may be something you've been anticipating or waiting for that is coming to fruition. It seems like this actually could be a fairly significant fear point for you, that maybe it's something you've been nervous about, or you've been waiting to hear back about something that's actually going to be resolved in the next few months, and it'll be resolved beautifully. It really does seem like it will be quite a positive resolution for you. So that's definitely something you can expect within the next few months. It looks like it'll actually happen either in July or August. It may start in July, finish up in August, but whatever that big thing is that you've been anticipating or worrying about, you're going to get that resolution and it will line up in a way that will bring you a lot of peace. So I hope that can help you breathe a little easy, Dee Dee, and will is just such a gosh, I love it when the messages come through and they're that peaceful and actually provide you that kind of re resolve. So I hope that helps out a little bit. And if you have any follow-up questions, go ahead and leave them in the comments and I'll keep chatting about what's going on in my life over here for a while. But for anybody else who has any questions or would like a quick reading, go ahead and head over to the chat room on 12 Radio Facebook group and click on the banner. If you guys weren't here right in the beginning, I'll just walk you through how to get here again. Click on the banner that says Life Journeys with Serena and go ahead and leave your question in the comments. And if you want to see all the comments, you need to click on all comments, which for me actually is just an icon above between the banner and above the send button. And right now it says four with that little chat icon, and that'll pull up everything so you can interact with all of the different comments and people jumping in. So yeah. So okay, you guys, so like I was saying, we're moving this week and we're not going far. I don't think I'm ever gonna go too far from San Francisco. I mean, you guys just heard how much I love this space. But we are getting a little bit tired of the fog and excited to be able to move into a bigger space. And we're actually moving into our first house, and we've been in apartments for a while now. And gosh, packing and moving and just packing up your whole life, it is such a unique experience. Like, I've been so, like, it's bringing up so many thoughts and so many different energies that I just wasn't expecting as we've been packing up the past couple of weeks and getting ready. And I mean, we're literally uprooting ourselves and planning to put down new roots in a whole new space that we really don't know. And it's, for me at least, it's simultaneously exciting, but also so unnerving, right? I mean, my current home, it at some point stops feeling like home. And then as in the process of packing and, you know, it's not familiar anymore. Everything's moved and changed in boxes. You can't find the thing that you need because you already packed it. I've done that so many times already. And I mean, while this space is starting to feel like, okay, wow, this doesn't really feel like home anymore, I'm ready to go. Right? The new home is still a strange and unique space that we don't know yet. So it's kind of like you don't have a home for a minute. And yeah, so with this move for us specifically, I mean, so many parts of our lives and daily routines are just going to change. Right? We're still in the Bay, we're still close to the city, but you know, we're leaving the fog for warmer weather. which means that I will soon be experiencing this heat wave with all of you. So don't worry, I'll be right there with you soon. But yeah, we've been in this tiny apartment and we've been waiting for this big move to our first house for such a long time. And yeah, as we're finishing packing up everything and making plans for the new space, and I'm kind of realizing that I could have done so much more with this space that I think would have really significantly impacted my daily life. And I think the excuse is always, oh, it's too small, or oh, we're renting, or you know, it just doesn't make sense. It's not worth the time to make this feel homey, right? And for me, I'm a big reader, right? I love curling up with a book or my Kindle. I prefer a book. But you know, sometimes it's got to be the Kindle. And yeah, I'm realizing that I just always thought this space was too small for a little cozy reading corner. But now that we're moving everything around and packing up and everything's in boxes, I'm kind of seeing the potential of this space in a way that I really hadn't before. And I'm wondering if my daily life would have benefited from trying to create that special little cozy corner, and putting that time and effort into it and being intentional with the space. We really wanted to make our kitchen feel really cozy, and I put up the peel and stick kitchen tile on our backsplash, which is like super renter friendly, which changed the space so much, and I love that I did that. But I was intentional with our kitchen and space because I love to cook, and I'm always trying new recipes and trying to bake bread and do all these things, and I love spending time in the kitchen. But when it comes to creating a space that is, I guess, quote unquote, unnecessary, right? Your kitchen's necessary, but like a little cozy reading corner, not necessary. But how wonderful would my life have been if I'd created that little cozy corner, right? Instead of just, oh, I can just sit on the couch, or oh, I can just read in bed. Like, I would have loved to have a little, little love seat or a little comfy armchair with some plants and everything and candles around me. And maybe I could have put my cards and my crystals and stuff there too. And it's just making me think that like a big fluffy blanket, and it could have just been a nice little lamp. Like, it could have been so cozy. And I'm seeing exactly where this could have been in our current space. But it wasn't until we're leaving and everything's moving around that I'm realizing that our little space had that potential. And I'm just cracking up thinking that my daily life definitely would have improved if I'd decided to do that. And I didn't really have a good reason not to. So, I mean, I'm guessing not a lot of you are moving at the same time as we are. But if you are feeling frustrated in your space, I just wanted to mention that sometimes there's a lot more that we can do than we think. I mean, even if you don't own and you're renting, or your space is too small, or you don't know if you really want to paint that wall, just try it, It could actually significantly improve your quality of life. And like, for me, putting that kitchen backsplash up in our kitchen changed the way I was in the kitchen, and we just took it down and it didn't tear off the wall. I was actually really nervous about that. It did not. We don't have to spackle the entire wall. It actually came off really easily, thank God. But I'm realizing now that it's gone how much I appreciated that it was there. Now it just looks like this blank, monotone color space. Everything's gray. It was this beautiful, brightly tiled like backsplash that was really fun. And if you guys have anything that you've been kind of curious about, maybe I should try. Just give it a shot. It normally doesn't cost that much money, and it's kind of, very low risk to just try it out. And worst case scenario, you paint over it, you put it back. And I wish that I'd taken more chances like that in this current space, even though it's not our dream home. It's not, it definitely has been that small apartment before the big move. I think it would have significantly impacted my daily life. And for me, like, I'm a creature of comfort, right? I love being home. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about how, I like going out and seeing my people and getting my extrovert on and being able to go hang out with everybody. But I definitely am an introvert where I will recharge at home. And I absolutely love how comfortable I make my space. And that's one thing that I'm really happy with what I did here, because this isn't our dream home. It's a small apartment and everything, but we've really been able to make it comfortable to the point that we'll be out on the road doing our daily, like our weekly errands and everything. And at some point, my husband and I will look at each other and we'll go, okay, I'm ready for home time. I'm ready to be back and comfy and cozy and in the home house clothes and to make some dinner and yeah. And so while I'm really happy that I did that here, I'm also so excited to settle into our new space that is such a it's such a cute little garden house. I'm so excited about it. And make that really cozy and plan to be there for at least a couple of years and just really be able to settle into it. I can't wait. And it's so funny the thoughts that pop into your head when you start moving and when you start doing these things. Like it is a wild experience of of what gets of just what comes to mind when you're doing all of it. And I think packing in itself is such a unique experience, right? Like we're going through everything, and half the stuff I pick up as I'm trying to fill a box of everything, half of the stuff that I pick up, I'm wondering, well, why have I held on to this? I haven't touched this since we moved, a year and a half ago. Why have I prioritized keeping this space? And half of the stuff I'm thinking that, while the other half brings up so many memories and immediately makes me nostalgic and immediately brings me back to this other part of my life, and I'm so glad that I held on to. And it's just such an emotional experience of packing everything up and literally touching everything in your house and choosing what you want in this new space, right? Do I want Am I going to hold on to this idea of, oh, I've held on to this thing for the past year and a half, but I haven't touched it in that year and a half. And I held on to it with this idea that I'm going to use it at some point. Or maybe it'll fit me again at some point. Or maybe I will be that person again at some point. And there's so many hard conversations you have to have with yourself, especially because I'm trying to be so intentional in the things that we're bringing into this space. This home and this space feels so sacred already to me for some reason. It's been something I've been looking forward to for so long that I really am being intentional about every single object that we're bringing into this space. And it's making packing a lot more stressful than I think it needs to be because, and it's just maybe not stressful, but at least a lot more emotional than it needs to be. But it is by far, it is just such a trippy experience in a way where I'm just kind of everything is kind of bringing up a lot of life questions, and I'm really grateful that I'm able to be conscious and present with all of it. And I'm happy that I had that moment of saying, no, I want this new space to be filled with things that I love, that I actively engage with, that make me feel really good. That's what I want in this new space. And it's so interesting thinking about this retrograde that we have coming up on Saturday that's going to last through November. That is all about thinking about your daily routines and all about thinking about is I like to think that I'm not shocked at how well things that happen in astrology sync up with what's happening in my life, but it always makes me, a little surprised and excited about how well they sync up. Because with this retrograde that's starting, it is absolutely what my focus with this move has been of what do I want my daily life to look like? What energy do I want to fill my space with? What things do I want to touch every day, right? How are these things going to, in a very materialistic way, how are these things going to bring me joy versus in the minimalist way, do I need these things, right? And oh, it's just such a I know I've always been an extremist, so I'm sure there's some people listening going, okay, you're just moving. It's moving as stressful enough as it is. Chill out and maybe think about these things once you've done it. But I'm an extremist. I'm a Sagittarius. This is how we do things. I'm all fire. this is how I it's how I'm built. And it's making me really excited about the potential in this space. And yeah, another aspect of it is I'm gonna have a garden. And right now we have this little concrete backyard that's surrounded by tall apartment buildings where there's no privacy, and it's concrete, it's outdoor space, but it's not private space, and it's also not connected to nature. And there's so much potential within this beautiful garden that's right off the kitchen. And I have been struggling to let my inner green witch free in the city, in the freezing city. And now we're moving into this cute little 100-year-old house that has so much of its own history, and it's in a wonderful gardening zone. And I'm just so curious to see what parts of me is going to thrive in this space. And like, what new interests are going to pop up that are going to surprise me, and what's going to flourish, right? Or come to the surface that I'm not aware of right now. And that really excites me. And I think, I mean, for me, I get excited about the opportunities to kind of reinvent daily routines or start something from scratch or kind of throw everything out and start over. And I probably can do it whenever I want, right? I mean, but it's nice when you have this external factor also that allows you to be pushed in that direction and take up that opportunity. It's really just fun. Okay, I'm just rambling on about moving at this point. Let me check back into the chat room, see everybody's doing. And let's see who has popped in. Hi, Catherine. Oh, happy to hear you live. I'm so happy you're here. Welcome. That is so fun. Hi, Pamela. Oh my gosh. I love that you put a sunflower. I am absolutely posting. Not posting, sorry. I'm getting platforms mixed up. I'm absolutely planting sunflowers in this new garden, and I can't wait. And Dee Dee says, thank you, Serena. I have an opportunity for promotion, but there are two more steps before I can be considered, with a lot of candidates applying for the same position. Oh, wonderful. Okay. Good. Well, it looks like you have good things coming in that direction with your career. Oh, I'm so glad you popped in and asked that question, and we were able to provide a bit of clarity there. That is incredible. And gosh, with career changes and promotions, and it always blows my mind how out of our hands it always feels, right? And how it is just so hard to stay grounded in that moment because you really have such little control over the situation. And it is such a stressful time. And sometimes just having a little bit of peace to be able to let go of that stress can help so much. So good, Dee Dee. I'm looking forward to seeing what's gonna happen for you there. Yeah. And I think in the same way of thinking about how careers are so often outside of our control in a certain way, when really the choices that we make within our careers and the choices and the consciousness that we choose, it all, we do have that control over what we're going to end up in, but it's passive. It seems so passive in that sense because there's always going to be external factors that we can't control. And sometimes just being able to control what we do doesn't feel like enough. And it's just so much left up in the air. And I think about our living spaces in such a similar way, right? You think, oh, I signed this lease, I'm stuck in this house that I'm not in love with anymore. It's out of my control. I have to wait, right? I can't be happy within this space. And I definitely felt that way about this apartment that we've been in. And I'm kicking myself right now, thinking about all of the things that I did have control over that I was in denial of or didn't want to actually have an honest conversation about the control that I did have. And the things that I could have done within my space that I was unhappy with. And yeah, I think it, yeah, I always, I'm You guys are catching me in a really pensive week. you got the stress of moving and high emotions of everything going on with packing up everything and touching literally everything in the house. And when it comes to career changes, like what you're talking about, Dee, it is so stressful to wait. And I hope you're able to find a bit of peace in this waiting time. Because I find that in times of waiting for the unknown to come into clarity, if you're able to find a bit of peace, settle into, love on your home, love on the space around you a little bit, love on the people in your life that are supportive and incredible, it can provide you a bit of relief and comfort. And yeah, for me at least, I'm so excited to get to know the energy of the new space that we're about to be in. And I am a big planner, and I am having a hard time planning every single I'm trying not to plan every single aspect of what this move is going to be and what this new space is going to be in, even though I am stopping myself from doing it all the time. Like I want to have everything planned out. I'm trying to leave that space to get to know the energy of the house. We've only been there a couple of times. And, I don't know the energy of the house. The house has history. The house has its own connection to energy. It has its own, I mean, it's a beautiful 100-year-old house. There is history there. And I am so curious about what it's going to feel like to bring our energy and merge it with the home's energy and to attempt to be as conscious as I can throughout that process. And that doesn't pair well with planning. And so I'm trying to let go of that desire and that feeling of needing to plan it all out and just let the house be empty for a little bit. And we move our stuff in, but we don't need to fill it right away. I'm telling myself over and over again, let the space be empty. And the house is going to tell me how to fill it, right? And the garden is going to tell me what it needs. And it's such a beautiful relationship that I want to develop that I is different than when you're in apartment buildings and you're listening to your neighbors next door and you hear your neighbor upstairs vacuuming, or you can hear the traffic on the street. It's a completely different, relationship. And there's so many cute little things. I'm like, we have a mango tree right in our yard. Ugh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. What else do we have going on? Let me pop back in to the chat room for a second. Oh, Catherine says it's fun hearing your excitement at moving. I'm in the process of trying to decide what's coming with me to Ireland after more than 20 years here in the US. Crystals are the hardest to release. Oh my gosh, Catherine, I know. Wow, Ireland, that is such an incredible move. Congratulations, gosh. 20 years here in the US. Yeah, that's a lot to pack up. I'm sure you're having a lot of the similar feelings of there's so many things to touch and figure out, and am I going to move it? And it's an emotional and stressful process, especially if you don't want to bring things that don't have that intentional, beautiful energy that you want in your new space. And crystals are absolutely the hardest for me to let go of too. Oh my gosh, yeah, I used to think that we should never release them, never let them go. But I do, after enough years of moving them into new homes, into new spaces, sometimes their energy doesn't match what you want to bring into your new space. And it's sometimes it can also be a hard thing to recognize, right? That this crystal helped me through so many challenges or grounded me in this space or provided me with this energy that you may not need anymore, or that you may want to reset. Maybe you still need that energy, but you need a new version of it. And you may still need that support, but you need a new channel for it, or new roots, right? And so I'm having a similar process with my books, because I have some books that I will never let go of. I'm such a big reader. Like I love, lately it's been a lot of fantasy books, which is really fun and just a fun world to so many fun worlds to get lost in and explore. And I have a lot of books around energy and around, astrology and around, I guess different like self-help books or ways to grow intellectually and energetically and spiritually. And there are some books that I haven't touched in 10 years that I will continue to move with me everywhere I go, as they're just special to me. And they make me happy when I see them. And they remind me of certain lessons or messages when I see them. And I think the books are always going to be that one exception of, wow, I haven't touched this in a year. Do I need it? My answer is probably always going to be yes, I do. It's important to me. It's sacred. But there's some books that I feel like I'm starting to let go of. I'm starting to say, okay, maybe I don't need that reminder anymore. I feel grounded in that. Or maybe I can gift this to someone. Or, wow, that book served me in a time that I don't want to forget. I'm going to hold on to that one, even though I don't feel like I no longer need that message. Like, it is such a fascinating process to go through. And then, there's all the books that I've started and haven't finished. And that having to have that honest conversation with myself of, okay, am I actually going to finish these things? Am I actually going to, like, did I like the book enough to finish it? Or is it just a pretty cover? That's always a hard part of it. It is such a, there, it is so, it's surprising how many different categories of the stuff in our house shocks you with the emotional process of figuring out, do I want to keep this? I think one thing that I will never question taking with me are my plants. I love my plants, since I haven't been able to garden outside, I have absolutely allowed my house plants to take over, even though my cat wants to eat all of them. but I guess that's one thing that I may question at some point, never say never, but is a fun thing for me to continue to grow and I'm excited to take into that new space. I think I'm trying to make sure that everything I'm bringing with me, it will be an exciting, loving space. Okay, looks like we got everything in the chat room. If anybody has any additional questions, I can continue to respond over the next 10 minutes or so. So you're welcome to leave that in the comments, and I'll make sure I grab them before moving on with the rest of the day. Otherwise, the other big things that we have going on is, for those of you who have been following along with my cycle syncing conversations, and for those who are new here, cycle syncing is something I'm extremely passionate about, and it's the lifestyle of getting to know how the four phases of your cycle impact your life, given the hormones that are at play and are ever-changing, and learning the ways that you can eat certain foods or schedule your life or just give yourself a bit more grace through the process of understanding what is at play, what is going on in your body. And if you're curious about that, you guys can go check out my previous radio shows, which you can find on demand and on 12radio.com, and you guys can listen in on more of the deep dive that I've gone into over the past few weeks. And for those of you looking for more of a custom explanation for ways that you individually can approach cycle syncing, I'll be offering a class through 12 Academy next month. The date is still to be determined. I should be able to announce that next Monday on the 1st. And we'll be able to get into an even more thorough breakdown on the hormones that you are working with in your cycle, the explanation of what each phase consists of, and taking a look at what your personal body is telling you through your PMS symptoms or whether you have a period or not. We can also do a deep dive into menopause there for those of you who are going through that transition in your life. And it is something that should be talked about more, and I will always advocate for that. So that's coming up. And if you don't want to wait for that, you can also go check out my cycle syncing breakdown, which is on 12Listen under my email-based services, which you'll find under my advisor profile. And that has a full breakdown of what the hormones are, and how they impact us, the four phases, the foods and the exercises that will support your hormones within each phase, and then also a little cheat sheet for what each day you the little things you can do each day to support your cycle. So yeah, that's everything there for cycle syncing. Otherwise, you guys can find me at 12Listen. I'm an advisor over on that beautiful site, and you will be able to catch me pretty much every day. I'm on starting most of the time late morning into late night Pacific time. We are in night owls over here, so if you ever need a midnight chat, you can always give me a call. And yeah, that's what I have going on for you guys. I hope everybody's able to stay cool with all of the wild weather we have going on. And I hope everyone enjoys the rest of your week. Get ready for that retrograde coming in on Saturday. And yeah, everybody enjoy the rest of your week. And I'll see you guys Monday at noon next week. Thanks for being here, everybody. Bye.